And we're off. Luchador Podcast, David Nuno, Billy Lucci. This is brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. They want to take care of you from grilling outdoors with the family to preparing for the big game. Academy's got you covered head to toe. Stop by your local Academy store or shop online at academy.com and have fun out there. All right, Billy, a lot of moving parts this morning. We found out earlier something you've been hoping and alluding to could be happening. Anaya Smith coming back. Big news for multiple rooms in that for that offense, and also just for the team culture.
Yeah, both of those things, right? Playmaker and culture, leader guy, set a tone during an offseason. He was instrumental in Evan Stewart being ready to play from day one last year. You could ask Evan about that. Just that whole thing. Like, if you're going to win in this league, you better have leadership and you better have a strong core of seniors. And that's what happened in 2020 for A&M, and that's what has not happened the last 2 years. I think there's been a noticeable leadership vacuum. Mm-hmm. I think in 2021, you had a lot of guys that were just had their eye on the NFL from the, when the season started. These guys coming back, including Anias, that's not the kind of guys they are. They're not, none of them are projected first round picks. And I'm talking about Anias, Damani, Layden, Edger and Cooper, McKinley Jackson. They're not, I'm not saying anything crazy here. None of them are going to be projected as first round picks in the 2024 NFL draft. They can all certainly help themselves. I think the majority of those guys are going to play, have nice NFL careers. But they're not guys, they're coming back to prove something. Not just here at A&M with the way the last couple of seasons have gone, but also to the NFL. They can all help themselves, but no one can help themselves more than Anaya Smith, in my opinion, because when he's on and when he's Anias, and if he'd have been healthy throughout last season, I think he could have been a second, third round pick. Had he come out now, not been able to work out to his level in the pre-draft stuff, he might have been, from what I kept talking to people, fifth, sixth round pick.
Mm-hmm. Which means you may not get drafted too.
Yeah, there's also that. I said, well, the injury, somebody will get him as a free agent, why not us? I think he would have gotten picked because he's got so much great mm-hmm. tape. But I believe that a healthy Anias, you know, could be a second, third round pick in the NFL. He's so versatile. He's such a tough guy. He's such a natural football playing, playmaking dudes. Like I said earlier, he's the guy you pick first, probably from when he was 6 years old until today.
If this team goes 10-2 and he's a part of an amazing offense that Bobby Petrino brings, and he's a focal point, right?
How do you think Petrino's feeling today?
Because he likes having different types of pieces to use, and Anias is the ultimate guy that I can use anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Anias can catch the ball, he can run the ball, he can return the ball, he can block. He can block at receiver. He can block at running back. Mm-hmm. He's an incredibly smart, instinctive football player. He was having a – I heard you reading his stats earlier. You know, at A&M gone to a bowl game and gotten that extra game in. You know, Anias finished that Arkansas game if he didn't get hurt. He was going to trend towards a 1,000-yard season. And he's just – he's a game changer – for Jimbo Fisher.
Let me ask you this, Billy, about that. If Anias is healthy, last year had his issues regardless, but I think he's worth two more wins at least with last year. The same thing, if he's there all year long, I think he's worth some more scoring and more wins for this team. They're at least a 7-win team if he's out there, I believe.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, first of all, there's Alabama. What do you do with him from 2 yards? And I'm not putting this on, like, A&M had so many more issues mm-hmm. than Haynes King, but, like, if Haynes puts it on him against App State, do they beat App State there? He makes a catch and run for a short touchdown, probably 20-something yards. And you would assume A&M holds on. App State would have to have gone down and scored a touchdown, not the field goal there. Probably win that one if he gets a catchable ball there.
Yep.
So he makes the big play to win it. Haynes probably would have loved to have had the opportunity to redeem himself and with a throw to him against Bama. How much attention does he cause Bama to pay him. And maybe it is Evan that wins the game because it's just a little different setup. Maybe it's Donovan Green. How much attention does Evan in the slot command? Maybe it was Moose that wins it. Whatever it was, how much harder is A&M to defend with Sub-Zero on the field? The Auburn game, you didn't have Moose. Famously, we know that story. You didn't have Moose. You didn't have A-Chain in that one. You were without Moose, Anais, and A-Chain. In a game that you lost, was that
13-10? Yep.
Okay, so 7-3 throughout much of the game there. So 10-3 throughout much of that game there. So what?
South Carolina?
South Carolina was one, and Anais has been a South Carolina killer. So, I mean, yeah, maybe they win 8. Maybe the guys were 3. So many games in the Ole Miss, so many games in the SEC are so close. And you have a guy that – had he been healthy, does he get 15 carries against Auburn when A-Chain's out? You know, like, these are the questions that you don't know the answer to there.
And is less attention paid to Devon A-Chain in those games as well when you have an Anais Smith? So
it's what he opens up. It's what he does as a playmaker. Like I said, 4 touchdowns in 2 years against Al-freaking-Bama. In real competitive games, they weren't garbage time mop-up touchdowns. If you go back and look, they were real, you know, all 4 of them. Obviously, the 2 were in a win, and including the big one in the fourth quarter. But also, you go back and look at that bowl game against Oklahoma State, what he did as a tailback. You look early in the year in 2020 as a tailback, and even late against Tennessee down there. You look at massive catches in games against, like, Auburn on the road, against North Carolina in the Orange Bowl, that big catch and run to set up a touchdown there, where it was like a 50-yard play. The punt returns. He's an exceptional football player. He's a winner. I mentioned it earlier. The kid went and practiced at corner in 2021 because they thought there might be a chance that he might have to play cornerback.
Right.
He did that, and he would have done good. You could line him up against a slot receiver and say, "Hey, Anais, go lock this guy up."
I think he would.
He would. He absolutely would. And so, I mean, what does that mean in your locker room? When that guy, he's strong as hell. He's the guy that this is what they missed a lot of. Anybody that's been on a team understands this. Off-season, fourth quarter drills. He's the guy that finishes as a senior, comes back, and then you're running, and he's running alongside you, pushing you to finish. He's telling the young guys, let's go, you know, and he's, you know, encouraging them across the line and trying to get them to win. You know, what does that mean in your locker room? And then you combine it with all those guys we said, plus a returning quarterback now in Wigman, also a returning veteran QB in Max Johnson. Like, I really like the makeup of this locker room versus previous ones, but you wouldn't be saying the same thing without guys like Anais Smith, Damani Richardson, McKinley Jackson, Layden,
yeah,
and Edgerrin. You know, and look, every one of those guys should have come back. That was a smart career move. They don't always make that, and that's a sign also of guys that want to come back and prove something via whether it be the team or themselves. And also, we're also in the NIL era as well, where it's more lucrative. Well, it's more lucrative to return. I think in a lot of those instances, was a lot of those guys where you were going to potentially go, it's the safer play to come back, get an NIL deal, and try to do it all over again.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything new with coaching staff changes, anything on that front?
Yeah, well, we talked the other day about Chris Partridge was a guy that they pursued, and he's going to go to Michigan, and they're, without getting too into it, real personal reasons for him to do that. Family related, nothing serious, but family reasons. He will go back, from what I understand. I still haven't seen it announced, but I think he's going to go back to Michigan. He was going to be that. I think that would have been the hire. I had said that there's buzz that maybe it could come from the inside. I still think they're going to go make an outside hire there, and I think it will be, not guaranteed, but I think it will be a safeties coach, and Durkin has traditionally coached linebackers, and I think that's his comfort zone. I think that's what he'll end up doing. So you're looking probably for at a safety hire. I'd been thinking defense was going to go first because I actually thought it was going to be Partridge yeah. until this happened with Michigan. So that was why I was kind of like, that's actually behind the scenes, feeling like that's going to happen quickly. It's my understanding there are two guys on offense that are at pretty big time places right mm-hmm. now. So I think one of those two could pop fairly quickly. As we've seen, it ain't guaranteed. A couple things have fallen through at the finish line. I just mentioned one of them. I don't think, you know, at OC, I don't think Garrett Riley ever got to a finish line. I don't think Grubb at Washington ever got to a finish line. That was one, if it would have happened, it would have happened pretty quickly. By the way, I don't think Bama offered him that job. I think that is why these coaches, and Jimbo's very particular about it. I've talked to him and to Mark about it in the past. They're very leery and nervous to the point of being paranoid about some of this stuff being out in terms of names, because they have been burned, just like any coach has, many times near the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
And the quieter, the better. There are times when you're trying to hire Nuno or Lucci, and Nuno doesn't know about it, and Lucci doesn't know. That's how this thing plays out. So probably more so than anyone I've worked. They're all like that in terms of not wanting names out, but Jimbo and them are probably as I say bad as preference, but in terms of as bad as anybody in terms of the paranoid of, hey, that'll cost us deals.
Right.
But I do know there are two offensively, and one could pop at any time, or they could stay where they're at and get more money. And that's what Grubb has been able to do. I think that's what Garrett Riley would have done until Clemson came along, and we talked about that. So just stay tuned. I mean, hell, the rate things are going, I'm not expecting anything this week on the front. But by the way, I will say this, that it's time to do it, particularly on offense, because I just still don't know how it shakes out. I think you're going to end up seeing Damian Craig coach running backs, and that's just my opinion. But, I mean, how else does it work out?
Right.
Same thing with, like, anything you're going to do to that recruiting staff. Like, we're getting deeper into it. Recruiting hasn't been elite since, you know, to be honest, since they signed a number one class and since Marshall and Malco went to Oregon. Yeah. He's not the only reason for it, but the organization of it, the structure, the plan of attack, the approach, the whole thing, the teamwork. You threw Meshack in there shortly before the spring game last year. He came in, you know, with one hand, both hands tied behind his back. So whatever you're going to do there, I think needs to be done. We're getting in now. We've had a couple of junior days with the 24s. I mean, you're into it now. You're in it. I mean, guys commit, a lot of guys, big name guys, will commit in the spring. And in a day of NIL, it's going to be really hard to get them back. So what are we doing? So if there are going to be moves, change to the I'm not even talking about personnel. Personnel is one thing, and if that happens, it happens. But I'm talking about
strategy,
just the infrastructure, the strategy. You know, are you separating whatever church and state, whatever you want to call it? But are you doing recruiting and portal? And roster, you know, roster right. management, GM, are we going to, you know, where are you going with it? Because it's, I think it's past time to do it. Just like I think with two position coaches out there, when one of them, is he going to be running backs? Is he going to be receivers? Is he going to be tight end? I think it's my bet would be receiver with Coley, tight end, Damian, running back. But that doesn't have to be guaranteed.
Right.
But if it's a running backs coach, how does it work out with Coley and Damian? Damian's never coached running backs or tight ends as far as I know, and Coley's done receiver and tight end. The whole thing is like, it's fine, but all the more reason to get it locked up and done, because spring football starts in what, like roughly a month?
Yeah.
that's on you, man. And by the way, coaches probably need to come into a job and you know, I mean, it's not like they just, the boom, scheme, my personnel, everything. You know, you need a little time for that too. So, anywho, interesting stuff on the staff front. I'd like to see it wrapped up pretty quickly.
And do you think it will?
Yeah, because now we're up against it.
Yeah, you have
to remember. Look, everybody talks about how rough the O-line looked this year, and Bryce Foster's injury was a massive part of that. And you had youth, and you had, you know, there was a lot going on up there. But and you had a coaching change, and from Henson to Addazio. But also, let's not forget, people talk about, well, Addazio, you know, missed a game there with a health issue, and there was, that wasn't just a 1 week thing. But the other thing is, remember how late he got here, because there was that stuff with the Colorado State fired him and their contracts up. But that was a late. It doesn't help. It doesn't help in terms of development. They're meeting now. You know, they meet with players and coaches this time of year. Meet occasionally, so. Yeah, the quicker the better. Do I think it'll happen soon? Yeah, because it kind of has to at this point. I mean, we've been thinking. I thought they were going to have it pretty quickly after the season, and they tried. They tried, and I think if Garrett Riley would have said, yeah, I think that would have happened.
Been wrapped up quick, yeah.
The other thing is, would Garrett Riley have left A&M for Clemson? Doubtful, but you never know with this stuff, these guys these days.
Yeah.
So.
All right, tomorrow on the show.
What, me and you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I want to talk about tomorrow?
Let's
talk with Anais back. We just talked about the coaches, but let's just talk about what does this team look like heading into spring ball? You're not going to have any other portal guys. Now, they could add some guys later.
Right.
But let's shelve that whole conversation for if and when they do after spring. Let's talk about this football team heading into spring tomorrow.
I also want to talk some hoops with you tomorrow as well.
Absolutely. They got a big one this weekend. They're all big now. And the Arkansas game would have been one that you could have stolen, because you look on paper, that's one you don't expect to go grab on the road. They didn't have it. You know, I was talking to Buzz and got the whole rundown on the travel stuff. Third game in 8 days, like Logan said, you could tell they didn't have it, and they still almost gutted it out. To me, a lot of times you will get blown out in that game.
Yeah.
And they didn't. I'm really excited. I'm really encouraged. But you have to win home games. Forget about 13-5, 12-6. You have to win home games. And they got, is it three of the next four at home?
That's right.
With LSU in between, who's lost 9 in a row. I think you need to win three of these next four, and it would really be nice to get all of them. And that is a tall task with Auburn and Arkansas coming in. You beat Auburn, they're better than they played that night, I believe. You saw it last night. I think A&M's a better team than Arkansas, but Arkansas on their A game can beat anybody. So it's a tough stretch, but, man, I'm excited. It starts Saturday, though. They got to handle business against a Georgia team that's better than recent Georgia teams.
Thank you, Billy. Thank you to Academy Sports and Outdoors. We'll see you guys next time.